bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Help us, O God, as we look at your word, that you speak to us and help us to realize the nearness of you and that we need you more and more each day. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in John chapter 10, and it starts at verse 11 through 16. I'm going to read from 7 through 18. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up, to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the land of Jerusalem at that day. He's trying to explain to them and make them realize he is the good shepherd. He is the one that God has sent from heaven. He is the one that God gave the command, all things I have given into your hand. You can take your life and lay it down, and you can take it up again. And we see that is what happened on Calvary's cross. But we got to go back here even into chapter 9, and we see Jesus is trying to tell the leaders of that land that he is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the one that God has sent, and he's the one that will save us. You see, we are dead in sin as dead people. And it is the Holy Spirit by God's word that convicts us of sin, brings us to life from being dead in sin. And when it brings us back to life, it shows us that we are sinners, that we need the grace of God, that through this grace, it is by faith in him that we are saved, and it is by the faith that we have what Christ did on Calvary's cross that saves us. So we, by ourselves, cannot do anything. You know, it reminds me of a story which I read a while ago, and one man was an orator. He had learned how to speak before people. He knew how to put emphasis on certain words and to make that come alive. And the other man did have no training, but he knew God. And so they recited the 23rd Psalm. And the orator, he did it, and he brought it alive, and he really spoke elegantly out to the people. The people, after he was done, they shouted and praised and clapped their hands and gave him a standing ovation. Then the man, the elderly man, got up and he took and recited the 23rd Psalm. And no one clapped, no one did anything. The orator got up again and he says, "I want you to know one thing. We both recited the 23rd Psalm. I did it in elegance, and I did it because I've been trained how to speak and put the emphasis on certain words to bring them alive and to make them really live. But you know," he says, "I know the 23rd Psalm. I know it very good." But he says, "This man has spoken the 23rd Psalm, the same psalm, but he knows the shepherd. Do we know the shepherd of our heart? Do we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? If we answer yes, we know him and we have him living in our heart and in our life. We should not have to be convinced or urged to come to church, to have Bible studies, to pray, and to be able to proclaim Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We should be happy that he is our Lord and our Savior. He is our shepherd, that he is the voice in which we hear, and we are the voice of his, or his voice is the one we hear and the one we will follow." You see, a shepherd knows his sheep. And Jesus says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." There was one time a shepherd man that had a flock of sheep, and one of them had gotten over into his neighbor's flock. And the neighbor says, "No, it's my sheep. Therefore, I will not give it back to you." So the man went to court, and the man told the judge, he says, "He has my sheep, and I would like it back. I will pay him for caring for it, but I want my sheep back." And so the judge, he says, "I don't know a lot about sheep, but I do know one thing." And so the neighbor, he says, "You go out behind that door, and you call your sheep. You call the sheep." They had brought him the sheep into the courtroom. And the neighbor went out and called the sheep, and the sheep stood there and looked around, fearful and wondering what it should do. Then he told the man that was claiming ownership to the sheep, he says, "You go out behind the door and you call the sheep." And the man went out there and he called behind the door and he called the sheep, and the sheep ran to the door. And the judge says, "That sheep belongs to the one that claims rightful owner." You see, it's the same way with God. Christ, we claim, is our personal Lord and Savior. We claim we know him and that we have accepted him as our Savior and our Lord, that we are willing to follow him, that we are willing to do what he wants us to do. So we should know the voice of God when he convicts us, or he tells us to speak to someone, or if he tells us to proclaim his name amongst those that do not believe. You see, we should know and hear the voice of Christ. And Christ says, "My sheep follow me. They do not go out ahead of me. And those that have gone out and strayed, I will find and I will bring them back into the fold." Then he says, "I want you to know that the hireling will take and he will claim he's going to take care of the sheep. But when the wolf or Satan comes and starts putting pressure on him, he does not care for the sheep, but he cares only for himself, and the sheep are scattered." We see that Christ says, "I am the door of the sheepfold." He says, I am the one in which you have to go through to get to my sheep, because I will protect them in the sheepfolds of the time of Christ. And even today, many places, there is only one way in and out of that sheep pen, and that's through the door. Christ says, I am the door. We would have to, or the evil one would have to go through him to scatter those sheep. And so Jesus is talking, I think, not only to pastors, but to laymen and everybody else that proclaims Christ. He says, if you are a hireling and you don't stand up for me, you will let the sheep scatter. But if you have me as your personal Lord and Savior, you will call and stand up for the sheep, and you will not let them be scattered. You will not let Satan have his way amongst them as long as you can help it. You will be willing to stand up for those under your care. You'll be willing to visit them. You will be willing to speak to them if the Spirit of God so convicts you to do so. You will be willing to do many different things to reach out to others that don't have Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, to proclaim Christ and Christ alone in your heart and in your life. Many times we may say, I would like to think of going to visit someone, yet I am fearful of doing it. You see, if we put our trust in Christ and Christ alone, he will give us the necessary strength to do that. If we would look back into Romans chapter 2, this is what it tells us as Christians. And I think it's very important to realize this, because we as Gentiles is that other flock that Christ says he has to bring into his care. So there's one flock and there's one shepherd. That shepherd is Jesus himself. And so Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2 that we would all spiritually be considered the chosen people of God. We would be the chosen people that God wants to work through. We are the chosen people that God wants to use to reach the world. And so starting at, let's start at 27 in chapter 2. And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who, even with your written code and circumcision, you are a transgressor of the law? And this is Paul writing to the Romans and bringing in the difference between law and gospel. Now in verse 28, he says this, for he is not a Jew, or he is not a believer, he is not a chosen one of God, who is one outwardly. You see, if you only make a pretense, if you only pretend and you're trying to put on a great show and trying to say, make people think, what a wonderful person this is. What a wonderful person we want to listen to and do what they tell us to do. Outwardly, if you do not have Christ, you are not part of his sheepfold. Now finishing that verse there in 28, nor is circumcision, that is, which is outward, in the flesh. In plain words, if you are only doing it as a hireling, and you're doing it to be seen of people, to make people think you are really something, this is not going to save you. You see, if Christ is your Lord and your shepherd, and you are following him, you will have to do it spiritually. And in that spiritual mode, you will be blessed in the physical sense, and you will be taken care of in the physical sense. Then in verse 29 it says, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. The heart you are saying, Lord, I give you my heart, and take and cut away all the sin, cut away all the evil, and help me to live for you day by day. Then he goes on, of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. God will bless you, and God will watch over you as you walk with the Lord, and as you take Jesus as your personal shepherd, and you will follow him wherever he wants you to go. And he will tell you that you may have trials and temptations and rebuff in this world, because he says, they did not believe me, and they took and persecuted me. They're going to do the same thing to you, because they are looking at their father, the devil, rather than at Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross. You see, Jesus, when he was taken into Pilate, and he was put, the crown of thorns was put on his head, and his beard was plucked out, and his hair was pulled, he was spit on, he was slapped and beaten, he did not revile against them. He could have called 12,000 angels to fight for him, yet he says, I am dying for the sin of the world. I am dying so these lost, dead sinners can come to life through the Holy Spirit, and through this life they can accept what I did on Calvary's cross for their sin, and that they can have eternal life, and that they would have it more abundantly, that they would have the life that Christ can give them. They can have the life that they deserve. They can have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We see, when we say we're at peace many times in the world, and we see things of the world or problems in our own lives coming upon us, and we say, what should I do? It just makes me anxious, and it makes me have turmoil within myself. It gives me ulcers, and it gives me bad hearts or whatever, high blood pressure. And we see these things on the physical end of life. If we trust in God, we may have sickness, because our bodies are from the sinful nature, from the fall of Adam and Eve. Yet we will find our inner peace is from Jesus Christ. Our inner peace we have because we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Our inner peace is given to us. We have peace not as the world gives, but as Christ gives. And we can know that the trials we're going through are only but for a little while. And then we have eternal life and eternal bliss, where there is no sorrow and no pain, and we'll be with Christ forever. As we enter eternity, as God calls us out of here, the first thing we will see is Christ face to face. When we see that Stephen was stoned to death, we see and we read that his face became the face of an angel. And as his face became that of an angel, it says that the leaders of the land and the people ran against him because they couldn't stand to see it. And Stephen says, Lord, lay this sin not to their charge. You see, Stephen did the same thing Jesus did. Lord God, forgive them. They know not what they do. And Jesus, as he was crucified on the cross, he prayed for us. And when he got all done and the darkness came upon the earth, and he had fought that battle with Satan and won, we see light came back to the earth, and Christ called out, it is finished. It is finished. I have won the battle over sin. That's not saying in this world we're not going to have problems, because Christ has said this world is sinful and the hireling will not protect you. But if you call upon me as your shepherd, if you have me as your Lord and your shepherd, you will follow me and you will hear my voice. And as you hear my voice, you will stand up and you will proclaim me before all people, regardless of the cost to your physical life. And we see this happening more and more, that throughout the world, we see people trying to dominate. We see people trying to do away with Christianity. We see the war on Christianity in the United States and throughout the world has become more and more powerful. And we see that more and more, that as it's taken and fought against, Christianity, at least underground, is striving. We find more and more Jewish Christian young men and women that are accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're realizing that Christ has come once and now he's coming again. They realized when he came the first time he was the Messiah that they rejected. And yet these young men and women that are coming to God today, the Jewish people, we don't know if in the tribulation period, it tells us there will be 144,000 Jews that are sealed onto the day of redemption, 12,000 from each tribe in Israel. And how do we know if some of these people accepting Christ today aren't going to be part of that 12,000? We don't know, because we don't know when Christ is going to come. But we do know when he comes, he wants us to be looking up and we realizing our redemption is drawing near. That as our redemption draws near, we will call upon Christ himself and say, Lord, you are my shepherd. You are the one I want to follow. You are the one that I want to have in my heart and in my life, regardless of the cost or regardless of what's going on. In Jeremiah, God warns the people, or the mostly I would guess at what he's speaking to there is many of the leaders, would be the pastors and the laymen of the today. And he's saying, woe unto you if you do not stand up and profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I will see to it that you are punished. And this is hundreds of years before Christ even. Christ's credentials is very good. He came when they said he was going to come. He was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. He fled to Egypt. It tells us all these things in Scripture 400 to 700 years before he was born, that all of these things would happen. And they claim today, and I was listening to this one radio program, and he was trying to show the prophecies of Christ. And he says, of all the prophecies of Christ today that's been fulfilled by Christ himself, if one man can fulfill them, it's one in 157 and then 157 zeros after that. If you can, I don't know what number that would be, but it's pretty long. And he says, that's the chance of one person filling all those, and Christ fulfilled them all. He is the Son of God. He came and he was sent by God himself to die for you and for me. And as he came willingly, and he laid his life down for each one of us. He wants us, in turn, to give our hearts and our lives to him. And as we give our heart and our life to him, he wants us to be able to proclaim him to our friends, our family, or anybody else that the Holy Spirit might convict us to speak to, or to be with, or to show our love and kindness to them. Heavenly Father, I pray you be with each one of us today. Help us, O God, to serve you, and help us, O Lord, to do your will, that as we leave this place, O God, it is you and you alone that we want to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's let us turn to